seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
It's a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. Welcome in. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be back with you. Ready to go on this Monday afternoon. We have a lot to get into. We could do 3 hours today just on local sports alone. Saturday, we had Kermit and Emory baseball and softball opening up the 3A state tournaments. The good news is all four of those teams will continue play Thursday. The bad news is both Kermit and Emory baseball did suffer one loss, so now their backs are up against the ropes. But the Emory softball team snuck one out against Providence Hall. Kermit delivered a big, big victory. Now they got to square off with Grant of the second round. We'll give you the complete recap on all four of those games. And you can also head on over to CastleCountryRadio.com to get the complete write-up on each of those games that took place over the weekend. But again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, final 3 days of the season for baseball and softball as far as the high school sports scene is concerned. So we'll dive into that in just a bit. Also, there was some big news that came out Friday morning. Emory High School has a new boys basketball coach. Dave Justice was named the head coach Friday morning by Principal Steve Gordon. Coach Justice is going to join us next segment here on Drive Time Sports. We'll talk about another new era of Emory High School basketball. He's the third coach in 3 years. Hasn't yet filled out his coaching staff, but we'll talk about the philosophies and what you can expect. It's a familiar name at Emory High School. Coach Justice has been there as an assistant on the football team under Coach John Famalo for the last few seasons. He was also the head coach at Mont Harmon, both basketball and football. So I'm looking forward to talking with Coach Justice. That'll be next segment here on Drive Time Sports. We also have to spend a segment talking about the Kentucky Derby and the upcoming Preakness this weekend. The controversy in horse racing, I think it's a good thing. I really do. That sounds horrible, right? But the old saying, there's no such thing as bad publicity. I don't know that I fully agree with that saying. But we are talking about horse racing. We were talking about it all weekend, a full week ahead of the Preakness. And it's because one of the most prominent names in the sport, Bob Baffert, has been indefinitely suspended from participating at Churchill Downs. And he will not be in attendance in Pimlico this weekend for the Preakness, even though Medina Spirit will be heading to Baltimore to participate. This was a huge, huge deal over the weekend. And again, when I mention the biggest names in the sport, there's Bob Baffert. This guy has produced, he has trained 7 Kentucky Derby winners. Comes out over the weekend that Medina Spirit has failed a post-race drug test. Bob Baffert is appealing the positive test, and part of the original sample will be retested. If the violation is upheld, Medina Spirit more than likely will be disqualified as champion of the Kentucky Derby. So, again, I thought we had a weekend where there was no controversy whatsoever, and it's so weird to me because the second week of May, we're always talking about a big boxing match, always. For the last 10 years, it was Floyd Mayweather's weekend to fight, and people were always ticked off that this guy, quote-unquote, ran. He wouldn't stand toe-to-toe in the ring, be it against Manny Pacquiao, Marcos Maidana, Miguel Cotto, whoever it was against. People were always talking about Floyd Mayweather that first weekend of May. It was almost a tradition. Floyd in the Kentucky Derby. And then Canelo Alvarez has taken the top spot in boxing. He fights on Saturday. Nobody's even talking about this. Canelo was dominant once again. So dominant that there is no controversy because he is the pound-for-pound king as he just completely obliterated Billy Joe Saunders. And when I look at how dominant Canelo has been, he may be a victim of his own success because there is no one else out there for him to fight. But no controversy in boxing. It's in horse racing. So we will talk about what all this means. Will Medina Spirit actually participate this weekend in the Preakness? Yeah, I believe he will. And I really want to see him win. The controversy surrounding horse racing at the moment, carrying that storyline to the Belmont with a chance for Medina Spirit to win the Triple Crown. Again, I don't know that there's such thing as bad publicity right now for the three major legs of horse racing. We'll talk more about this later on in the show. Let's look at some of the national headlines, and we will begin in the NFL. The Jacksonville Jaguars are expected to sign Tim Tebow as a tight end. When this story came out last week that Urban Meyer was working out Tim Tebow, I laughed. I had a couple of people ask me, do you really think that Urban Meyer would sign Tim Tebow? I said, no, there's no way. This is one of those deals where you bring a really, really good guy around your facility. This guy helped Urban Meyer win a national championship in college. Yeah, Urban Meyer should bring him in. Why not? Well, now it comes out that the Jaguars are expected to sign him to a one-year contract later this week to play tight end, a position that he never played in high school, that he never played in college, and never played during his 3 years in the NFL. We've always talked about Tim Tebow in a position change, especially when he was with Philly or New England or the Jets. We talked about a position change, but it never happened. Why would Urban Meyer bring in Tim Tebow? I'm a little iffy on this. A part of me says, yeah, you know what? Tim Tebow's a great guy. We need more guys like Tim Tebow in sports. I firmly believe that. I have two kids. If one of my kids looked up to Tim Tebow, I would be okay. That's a stellar human being. You can do a lot worse. Your kids can do a lot worse as far as role models go than Tim Tebow, trust me. But that doesn't mean I want this guy on my football team. And it doesn't mean that Tim Tebow is going to be even moderately successful in this next tenure in the NFL. This guy's been playing minor league baseball over the last couple of years. And so my question is it a publicity stunt? Maybe. Or it could be one of those movements where Urban Meyer is simply trying to change the culture and you want that guy in your locker room. Those are the only two logical explanations I can come up with. A, it is a publicity stunt. B, Urban Meyer knows Tim Tebow inside and out. And let's be real, when you look at that Florida team, with the likes of Aaron Hernandez and Riley Cooper, and the list goes on and on and on, Tim Tebow was the glue that held that team together. That guy managed to keep that team out of trouble in together to win a national championship. It's the only two logical explanations I can come up with. Tim Tebow is back in the NFL. He will be soon. Will he actually make the roster in Jacksonville? Probably not. But again, it is a fun storyline to talk about. That was some news that broke earlier today. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. The Utah Jazz are going to make their return tonight. Very short slate of games. We only have six on tap, and it is a big one for the Jazz, who got some big, big help from the Los Angeles Lakers last night, LA topping Phoenix, and that gives Utah a clear-cut path to the number one seed of the Western Conference. The Jazz are on the road tonight, taking on the Golden State Warriors. Live coverage right here on KOAL will begin at 7:50, start time at 8 o'clock. Other games tonight, we get Indiana at Cleveland. Washington will travel to meet Atlanta. We get the Pelicans on the road against the Grizzlies in Milwaukee at San Antonio. The other game at 8 o'clock, joining the Jazz, it's Houston and Portland. And again, start time for that game is set for 8 p.m. Big, big game for the Jazz as we break things down for Utah. They've played 68 games. So now we're down to the final four. Utah with a two-game lead over Phoenix. The Jazz have clinched at least a two spot. And again, as I mentioned, the Lakers really helping out Utah. The way the standings are set right now, I don't know that the Lakers pass Portland, which means it's Utah, Phoenix, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Mavericks, and the Blazers all in. The play-in round would be the Lakers against the Warriors and the Grizzlies against the Spurs. So we may have some really interesting basketball coming up over the next couple of weeks as we try to get that 18 field set. The Eastern Conference, it's a little bit more clear-cut and dry. Expect the Celtics, Hornets, Wizards, Pacers to be in the play-in round with the Sixers, Nets, Bucks, Knicks, Hawks, and Heat more than likely staying out of the play-in round. That's a quick look at what's happening to the national sports front. Again, we have a lot to get to, so let's take a quick commercial break. Local sports recap is coming your way. We'll recap everything that went down over the weekend. Plus, we'll be joined by Coach Dave Justice of the Emory Spartans, and we'll talk horse racing and the controversy surrounding the Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit. That's all straight ahead right here on Drive Time Sports. We're back right after this.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Friday morning, the news came out that the Emory High School boys basketball team has a new head coach, Dave Justice. He takes over for former head coach Jeff Cincinnatus, who took over for former head coach Todd Jeffs. Coach Justice will be the third coach in 3 years. We're going to talk about that, the excitement brewing around the program, and more. Joining us over the phone right now, we have head coach Dave Justice. Coach, a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime, Jordan. Just excited to be on. Thank you.
Yeah, it's exciting. A new era of Emory High School basketball. And, Coach, we got to start by talking about the news of you getting the head coaching job. I know that you love Emory High School athletics. You've been involved with it the majority of your life. In fact, you've been with a football program now over the last three or four seasons. So when you hear the news that you are the new Emory boys basketball coach, what was that like?
To be honest, Jordan, it was kind of surreal and humbling. You know, I just like you said, my whole life, I grew up in Emory. I was a four-year player for football, basketball, track, and baseball. I did a little bit of both throughout my time. And and then obviously, you know, I went to school to become a teacher. I was with interesting and like, oh, you know, I love teaching and doing that stuff, but interested in coaching as well. And then, you know, I started over at Mount Harmon and had a great experience there with the kids and ended up just, like, falling in love with coaching basketball and football. And then as I came over to Emory, then all of a sudden I got more on the coaching side of Emory. And, you know, with coaching, I've coached football the last 3 or 4 years here. This will be my fourth year coaching football. And then I coached basketball under Coach Jeffs when he was here for a couple years, coached the freshman and sophomore team, and learned a lot from him. And, you know, and just thinking about, you know, the guys that I've been around and learned a lot from experience. You know, I've coached with Jared Butler, coached with Bowie Jeffs, Todd Jeffs, you know, John Pomalo, my brother Chris, you know, all these guys. And it's just learning a lot of experiences from them and really taking it in and trying to become a better coach. But yeah, I love Emory and I'm super excited going forward and hopefully, you know, we can do well.
You mentioned the experience that you've had with Coach Jeffs, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But going back to your days at Mont Harmon and coaching these kids, 7th and 8th graders, and then moving up to the high school level and coaching sophomore, how big of a change was that for you? Or was it pretty similar, knowing that these kids were pretty close in age proximity?
They're similar. It's similar in the aspect of, like, you have to deal with, like, their personalities. Like, 8th graders, you know what I mean? Like, their shots and falls from your movement. Like, we want to build a culture where we're moving the ball and sharing with each other. And even as an 8th grader, you know, you still are doing those things. You got to get kids to buy in to sharing, being a team. So it's similar like that, you know, getting kids to buy in, getting kids to work hard, getting kids to, you know, work as a team. Those are very similar, and this is the management-wise. I'd say it's fast. It's just the only difference is it's a little faster, a little more at stake now, you know what I mean? You know, coaching at the high school. They're very similar, so it's similar, but it's different at the same time. But, like, but the relationship with kids are similar, but then obviously the little speed's a little faster. It gets a little more skilled every level that you go up. But we're excited to get started here.
What did you learn under Coach Jeffs during your time? You know, you and I were talking off the air. It's very difficult to replace someone like Coach Jeffs. He is a legend. When you look back at all the record books at Emory High School from a head coach, he's going to own every single record, and it's probably going to be that way for a very, very long time to come. What did you pick up from this guy who had been in that position for more than 3 decades?
You know, just his relationship with the kids and how he managed practice and game situations. And just communicating his style. I mean, he does a very good job of communicating with the players, what his expectations are, what their roles are. You know, like, you know, we have your shooters, you're playing hard. But it, just his expectation of what Emory basketball was, I would say that number one. His expectation is that we're gonna come in hard, no matter who we play. We're gonna play hard. We're gonna get after it. We're gonna rebound the heck out of the ball, and we're gonna shoot the heck out of the ball. And it's just setting that expectation is probably the number one thing that I've learned from Coach Jeffs with the kids. And they knew exactly where they stood with Coach, and that's kind of what we want to build here at this program, too, as we go forward.
As far as the expectations and getting to know the kids and the personalities, I mean, you have an advantage of being in the classroom with these kids every single day. And I know that there are coaches in this area, out of this area, throughout the state, they don't have that luxury. How much easier is it to coach these kids when you get to see them literally every single day at school?
It's a huge advantage. I can't describe how big of an advantage it is. And what I mean by that is just like, so it's not just the basketball season that you see them. I see all these kids every day in the hall. So I almost checking in on them every day. Like, hey, how are you? You know, Kyson Curtis, you know, Riker, how are you? How's things going? Need anything? You know, just kind of checking in, how you're doing. And so it's, you can build that relationship over time and check in with it. So kids start to trust you. You start to trust them. And so then like when you can have, so then by the time basketball season comes or during basketball season, it's easier to communicate. It's easier to, you know, set those expectations and have a good atmosphere and to bring up a good culture. So it's just a huge advantage, in my opinion, just being around. And it's not necessarily being a teacher, but just being around the kids a lot and being, you know, just getting to know them more from on a personal standpoint. Because, you know, you spend so much time with these players. You just get to know them, what motivates them, what they struggle with. Because there's some kids that you can probably scream at, I mean, and get after a little bit, and they'll get motivated by that. Or some kids, you maybe need a little bit more of a gentler approach. So I would say that's the advantage that you have as a coach in high school or spending a lot of time with these kids.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Dave Justice, new head coach of the Emory High School boys basketball team. All right, Coach, let's talk about your philosophies. Now that you're going to be the head coach of the varsity group, I mean, it's your program now. How do you want to play the game of basketball? What are some of the philosophies that we can expect to see on the court?
So what I kind of want, expectations-wise, is that we talk about this. We talked about five things that I want to really have Emory do. And we're talking about kind of with the C's. Number one, I want us to be competitive. And what I mean by that is that we are competing every day in practice. We're competing in drills. We're competing, you know, in the game. We're not shying away from anyone, you know. If we're playing the number one team in the state or we're playing a lower-ended team, we are going to be competitive. And then we want to build, obviously, confidence. And what I mean by confidence is those skills. We want to work on building skills. Like, you know, we want our kids to be shooters, dribblers. We're going to build that thing. And then number three, and I think this is a huge thing, is playing with confidence. So we want these kids to be confident. You know, as you know, Jordan, and in playing anything, if you're playing rec ball, if you're playing pickup, you're playing in the biggest game, the state tournament, if you're not confident that shot's going to go in or you're not confident in your ability, you're not going to shoot it. And that becomes a hindrance to your team, right? So we want these kids to play with confidence. And then we want to connect with the kids to make them feel good about where they're at and that they can build themselves up and then build character through basketball. You know, and I believe if we build those strong cultural foundation, you know, we build those five C's, the score is going to take care of itself. But we need to start building those up first.
On the X's and O's side of the court, Coach, I mean, Emory was known under Coach Jeffs. We saw that extended 2-3 zone. It was very effective. What do you plan on doing defensively? Do you implement some of the stuff that Coach Jeffs had during his time, or do you just completely start from scratch? How do you approach that defensively?
No, my idea at first, you know, I mean, we got to be flexible in our defense, but my first idea is that we want to get into a 2-3 zone because I think we have the bigs to kind of, but a 2-3 zone, but kind of more of extended. But, you know, because I'm super excited to get to work with Brett Rasmussen in the middle. I mean, there's not many guys that we have at Emory that come in like 6'6", long, athletic, you know, and I think he could be a really big thing in that middle of that zone, and we get extended with our athletes. I mean, that's our idea of the playing first. I know Emory's been a 2-3 school for a long, long time. And, you know, I mean, there's been years that they've switched on and off. But I think that's going to be our main defense is our 2-3 and extended. But then we're going to have to be able to kind of be a little flexible depending on the situation, like mans or, you know, different presses and half-court traps. But I would say our bread and butter, just like you would say, is probably going to be our 2-3 zone, just like it's been for a long time.
You mentioned Brett Rasmussen, a tremendous talent. You don't have a lot of kids returning from last year that played a lot of varsity minutes. In fact, that entire starting five, they were all seniors. And so, for the most part, you got a group here that's pretty green, but it's not as if they're unfamiliar with you because you got to coach these kids a couple of seasons back. So I'm sure that does help, even though you got a brand new starting five. These are kids that you know what they're capable of doing, and they know what to expect from Coach Dave Justice. It's pretty simple in that regard, I would think.
Oh, yeah, and plus, No, I've been around these kids a long time. You know, I even coached some of these kids when they were in middle school and kind of been around, you know, competed against them in middle school as a Mohammed. So I've known these kids for a long time, and they've known me. And a lot of these kids are football players that I've had a great, you know, experience coaching with football. And so, yeah, not a lot of starters coming back, but we have a lot of talent coming up that maybe don't have experience varsity-wise, but we feel comfortable playing. So we're excited about that. I mean, the kids that we have with seniors coming in next year, we have Kyson Curtis, who was a major contributor last year, and he came in there. Riker Jensen, who's done a great job, Jace Mangum, and then Ryan Christian, who's on also. You know, we have those seniors coming in from last year's team we feel super comfortable with. You know, our guard line's pretty young, but kids competing with those guard line would be like Easton Nilsson, Talon Tuttle, Luke Justice, Wade Stilson. Super talented group that we're excited about pushing forward. And then even some of our younger kids, like I don't know if I said this, but Justin Curtis, he's a junior, Creek Sharp, Dak Tuttle. I can go on and on. We can feel good about our groups coming up, even though we don't have maybe a ton of varsity experience. But we're excited about the talent and the opportunity that we have to gain some varsity experience with some of these talented kids.
Coach, before we end, I want to talk about what's next for the team. I know that you guys will have summer workouts. That'll be right around the corner. In fact, here we are already in the second week of May. I mean, the off season is flying by. It was 3 months ago that the season came to an end. What are the plans? When are you able to get these kids into the gym, and what does the summer look like?
So our summer, you know, we're trying to figure out our summer schedule. We're going to start open gyms here right the week after school. I know they're finishing up baseball, and I don't really want to interrupt anything with their baseball state tournament. You know what I mean? Let them, or anything like that. I'm definitely a huge proponent in all our kids doing multiple sports, because being a little school, you know, we want them to compete in many. We need athletes to compete in everything, right? And so, yeah, we're going to start summer workouts here, you know, with athletic weights as well as open gyms here at the 1st of June. And, you know, just getting this job, we haven't set anything up for sure. We're still working on that. We'd like to attend, you know, we'd like to go to a team camp where we'd, whether SUU, Southern Utah, or USU or Dixie, something like that. We go to a team camp where we get a lot of games, and also a couple tournaments like Manti. I know Manti's had a tournament, North Sevier, even if we have to go up north and go to a tournament. So to be honest, Jordan, June's going to be really busy for us, but it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting to get to work with these kids, and exciting to kind of get to know them as basketball players, and them to get to know me as like a coach, you know what I mean? And so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am as well, Coach. Always exciting when a new era kicks off. I definitely appreciate you taking out the time to talk with us today. I definitely look forward to more conversations. And again, Coach, congratulations on becoming the new head coach of the Emory basketball program.
I appreciate that. You know, it's a great opportunity for us, and we're excited, and we're gonna make you guys proud. We're gonna work hard, and we're gonna be proud of the product that's on the court. So,
well, thank you, Coach. We'll talk again real soon.
All right, thanks, Jordan.
That's Coach Dave Justice again of the Emory High School basketball team, talking about the new era, which will tip off this summer. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports straight ahead. When we return, we're gonna talk Kentucky Derby / Preakness. That's straight ahead right after this.
Since they want to know. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Typically, when we hit the second week of May, we're talking about a controversy in the sport of boxing. It's like a yearly tradition here on Drive Time Sports. The second week in May, we're talking about the one big boxing fight out of the two big days for boxing out of the year. Something went down, and it's a black eye for one of my favorite sports, the fringe sport of boxing. Here we are on May 10th, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a controversy and another fringe sport, a sport that we were so happy to get back, and it just seemed normal, the Kentucky Derby. With all the news that broke over the weekend, Derby winner Medina Spirit tests positive for a regulated drug, and Bob Baffert has now been suspended from competing at Churchill Downs. What does this mean moving forward? We'll talk about that and more right now with Steve Bordstein, great friend of mine, horse racing expert here on Drive Time Sports. Steve, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for the time. And before we say another word, I do want to go on record that when we did our Derby preview just a few days before the Kentucky Derby, you specifically asked me about Vedina's spirit, the very first question of our interview that we did. I summarily dismissed the horse entirely, said I didn't like anything about the horse. Naturally, he won, and naturally, we find ourselves in this position. So you're welcome, America.
Yeah. I mean, look, when I asked you that question, Steve, anytime a Bob Baffert horse enters the Kentucky Derby, I've always felt like you have to take it serious, right? Especially knowing who was riding Medina Spirit in this Kentucky Derby. I know that you were quick to disregard, okay, this is not going to happen this year. There's no way we're talking about Vasquez getting a win, Velasquez getting the win. There's no way we're talking about Bob Baffert getting the win. I understood where you were coming from. I was not surprised when Medina Spirit won the Kentucky Derby. However, a week later, I am surprised that we're talking about him potentially being DQ'd and that victory being stripped of Medina Spirit. And obviously, that creates some controversy heading into this weekend's Preakness.
It creates controversy at a number of different angles. Number one, the post position draw, which normally on Preakness week happens on Monday, is now been pushed back. It will happen tomorrow, Tuesday. In that 24 hours, the state of Maryland, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, need to get together, and the horse racing executives at those particular racetracks, Pimlico in Maryland and Churchill Downs in Kentucky, need to kind of figure out, okay, what's the status of Medina Spirit going forward? That is held up right now by what is called a split sample. That is the second test that needs to be verified to show that the first test, which came back positive for this particular drug, is accurate. Now, that process normally takes 4 weeks. But now we're expecting that we're going to hear something in the next 24 hours that will suddenly allow Medina Spirit to either be entered into the Preakness Stakes or to not be entered into the Preakness Stakes. Trainer Bob Baffert has already circumvented that process, excuse me, by suggesting that he, in fact, will file an appeal, a motion of temporary restraining order that would prohibit Pimlico from denying Baffert the ability to enter Medina Spirit. So more than likely, Medina Spirit is going to be entered tomorrow into the Preakness Stakes on Saturday. Whether or not he runs could still be determined by a number of factors, one of them being if Pimlico decides to honor Churchill's suspension of Bob Baffert. If they do, if Pimlico decides to honor that suspension, then he would not be allowed. Then he would probably be scratched from the race. Under normal circumstances, most other state racing jurisdictions will honor the suspension handed down by another state racing body. If a trainer is suspended in California, he's probably going to be suspended in neighboring states. That's not always the case, but it's predominantly the case. However, most of those trainers are not named Bob Baffert. And that brings up the other part of the story, which is, this is Bob Baffert. He's the biggest name in thoroughbred racing in the last 40 years, without question. He's the winner of 7 Kentucky Derbies. He's the winner of the last 2 Triple Crowns, two of them in the last 7 years. So it's not just a normal trainer. This isn't just a regular guy. This is the biggest name in the sport.
Steve, when you look at the explanation that Bob Baffert gave earlier today, he said that one of the problems from the test, it was due to a groom urinating in the stall after taking cough medicine, and the Medina Spirit ate some of the hay. Now, we know that grooms are crucial to what the team wants to do as far as care and exercising of the horses. I'm not going to pretend to be a horse expert. I'm certainly not. But when you hear Bob Baffert, and that's his defense, what's your initial reaction? Is it, yeah, okay, I can buy that, or is that completely and utterly ridiculous? Because I hear types of explanations in the sport of boxing all the time. Some I buy, some I don't. So when you hear Bob Baffert's explanation, what's your thoughts?
It could be both valid and ridiculous at the same time. I mean, I could buy the groom urinating story, and I can buy the horse eating the hay. I mean, who's going to complain? You going to listen to a horse? You know, you can't verbalize it. He doesn't know. I could buy both sides of it. But here's the larger issue here. And you and I talked about this morning. Is he guilty? That's the question. Is Bob Baffert guilty? And I stated it to you in a rather tepid answer, but I can throw it out here in a couple of different ways. He's guilty of one of three things at the end of the day. And it's up to you, basically, to determine which of those three things he's guilty of. He's guilty of either A, not knowing what he was doing, meaning Bob Baffert, didn't know what he was doing when he administered a small amount of this particular corticosteroid into Medina Spirit, and didn't know what he was doing. The people he hired didn't know what they were doing, meaning the guy, the groom, urinating in the stall after he took cough medicine, blah, blah, blah. Or they, those people, or he, Bob Baffert, just don't care about the rules because he's Bob Baffert and he can get away with anything. The question is, which of those three things is he guilty of? But once you come to the realization that he's guilty of one of those three things, which is the only rational way you can come to this, which is the only rational answer, then yes, he's guilty, and therefore he should be punished. The question then goes to, it's Bob Baffert. How do you throw the book at the biggest name in the sport, marketing-wise, publicity-wise? Imagine you're an NBC executive right now. How are you promoting the Derby on Saturday, which is 5 days away? How do you go about promoting it? We may see Medina Spirit, last week's Kentucky Derby winner, but he was caught with a drug positive, so we might not see him. And if we don't see him, then you're going to have a field of horses that you've never heard of before. But make sure to tune in Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern for the great race. Really?
Yeah.
You've held up an entire network right now.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Again, Steve Bortstein joining us right now as we talk about the controversy surrounding the Kentucky Derby and what's next for Bob Baffert. Steve, you and I were having a conversation off of the cuff about who could we compare this to? Is there a celebrity? Is there an athlete? Is there something in the world of pop culture that we can compare this specific instance in this fringe sport to? And I said it's got to be Lance Armstrong. And you agreed with that. And I understand it's a completely different situation, but there are a lot of similarities, especially when we consider it a fringe sport. You just mentioned that Bob Baffert is literally the biggest name in horse racing, and yes, he is. His success speaks for itself. Same concept with Lance Armstrong. And again, you were around horse racing way more than I am, but I make the comparisons to horse racing and boxing all the time. I know it's not a clean sport. You know it's not a clean sport. And I believe that adds to the story here, right? So is it a witch hunt against Bob Baffert? Because the general public knows that horse racing is not exactly a clean sport. Similar to the way that we know boxing is not necessarily a clean sport. Similar to the way that we knew cycling was not a clean sport. Is it a witch hunt?
Is it a witch hunt? Perhaps. But I would argue that sometimes there are witches that need to be hunted. And in this case, much as in the case of Lance Armstrong, and when I first started trying to draw up that analogy, my first instinct was problematic because I kept thinking about big sports. I kept thinking about the big four, right? Okay, who would it have been in hockey? Who would it have been in football? Who would it have been in basketball or baseball? And I kept coming back to A-Rod because A-Rod kind of had that squeaky clean image. We didn't like him because he was a New York Yankee, but we didn't like him because he was that. But then the steroids thing came up, and suddenly the squeaky clean image was gone. But then I got away from that, and when you brought up Lance Armstrong, it's perfect. Because you, as a racing fan, as a cycling fan, as a fan of international sports, will never watch a cycling race again without thinking about Lance Armstrong. Ever. It's impossible. It's impossible to watch the Tour de France without thinking of that man's name. Same thing now with horse racing. You will never watch a Kentucky Derby ever again without thinking of Bob Baffert. Now, how you think of him could be different areas. You could think of him as the trainer of the Triple Crown winner in American Pharoah, or the guy who came back 3 years later and won it again with Justify. Or you could think of him in the sense of Gamine, who was a big horse for Bob Baffert, who tested positive after winning the Kentucky Oaks last year. You could think of Bob Baffert having inquiries about drug tests that came back positive on Justify when he won the 2018 Santa Anita Derby. Two other Baffert horses tested positive for lidocaine last year. Baffert complained that time about a confidentiality disclosure in his contract with fellow owners. So this is not the first time that we're dealing with this with Bob Baffert. So to your question, is it a witch hunt? Maybe. Maybe the horse racing powers that be are tired of Bob Baffert, and maybe they're going out of their way to find things about Bob Baffert. That doesn't mean that Bob Baffert's not doing things that puts them in the position to find things on him.
And we know that Baffert is serious about racing Medina Spirit this Saturday. He's threatening legal action if the horse is not allowed to run. According to Baffert earlier today, he said that Medina Spirit is on his way to Pimlico and Baltimore, where the Preakness is going to be held this weekend. If, in fact, Medina Spirit is allowed to run this Saturday and he wins the Preakness, this may be one of the biggest stories, Steve, that horse racing has ever seen. I mean, at least going back before my time, because if this horse has a chance to win the Triple Crown, if he has an opportunity to go to the Belmont Stakes and win the Triple Crown based off everything that's happened over the last 72 hours, wow. I can't imagine what the storylines are going to be heading into Monday and Tuesday of next week.
And that is horse racing's biggest fear. That is every executive's biggest fear right now, is if we let him run, which by all intents and purposes, they're going to let him run. Because again, NBC needs to promote this race, okay? There's millions of advertising dollars on the line here for this race. And a typical Saturday at Pimlico without the Preakness Stakes means there's 5,000 people in the stands. A typical Saturday with the Preakness Stakes, without COVID problems and COVID restrictions, whatever, means there's 80,000 people in the stands. So this is big for everyone, right? From a marketing standpoint, from a publicity standpoint, from an on-track attendance and handle standpoint, from a national TV audience standpoint, all of it. So Medina Spirit's going to run. But if he wins, without results of this split sample probably coming back, and if he wins, how much pressure is there on those people in Churchill with the split sample, or in Louisville with the split sample, to hold off on that result? Don't say anything. Because if he wins the Triple Crown, and then the pressure becomes, well, if he does win the Triple Crown and it turns out he was dirty in the Derby, there's so many other ramifications here. And that's the biggest problem. And one last thing on the Lance Armstrong comparison, if I may. One last thing on the Lance Armstrong comparison. Lance Armstrong was, at that time, bigger than any other cyclist, right? He was bigger than Greg LeMond. He was bigger than anyone else in the sport. He had the squeaky clean image. He had the cancer scare, and he survived it. And he had all these great storylines. Bob Baffert's that same guy. He suffered a heart attack a few years earlier, and his health was in danger, and he came back, and here's Justify with this great story of the Triple Crown and the American Pharaoh, and he had all these great storylines, and now he's dirty. And you'll never think of a horse race again. You'll never think of the Kentucky Derby without thinking of Bob Baffert. I had to go back to that Lance Armstrong comparison because it's a brilliant analogy. And it's important also because it is a niche sport. Much like boxing, you talked about with Mike Tyson. We talked about that this morning. Mike Tyson was never a squeaky, clean image guy, but he was ferocious. He was the most feared man in the sport. And suddenly he's been relegated to biting Evander Holyfield's ear, rape allegations, charges, trials, sentencing, and suddenly he's a laughing stock where he's doing off Broadway monologue shows now, like some sort of raging bull thing now with Robert De Niro, and that's what it looks like. So there's so many other ramifications that are coming down in the next 48 to 72 hours. God forbid he wins the Preakness. I hope he does. I think it's time for horse racing to throw the book at Bob Baffert. I do. And if him winning the Preakness and putting this story in a hotter spotlight, if that's what it takes for horse racing to step up, by all means, let him win the Preakness.
Steve Bordstein, again, our guest today as we talk about the controversies surrounding Medina Spirit, the Kentucky Derby winner, ahead of the Preakness this Saturday. Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I definitely appreciate the time. I know we're going to be talking again really soon. Thank you again.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio.
You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Back to the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Move over to the NBA. Coming up tonight, the Utah Jazz. Big game. They take on the Golden State Warriors. Golden State's in the play-in round. We know that. Well, I guess not officially. They're close, though. They might as well be. And tonight, they'll play host to the Jazz. And Travis, as far as Utah is concerned, they got some help from LA over the weekend. They are going to be the one seed. So tonight's game, it is important for Utah. Maybe it's more important for Golden State.
Yeah, it's more important for the Warriors because if you look at the standings, the Warriors are trying to catch the Lakers, which probably isn't going to happen. But then again, look on the hills. New Orleans is right there, and Memphis is right there. So the Warriors have to be careful they don't dip from that, you know, 8 spot into the 9 or the 10 range.
Yeah, right now, just a half game up on Memphis. They're comfortably ahead of the Spurs, 2.5 up. Utah right now, 2 games up on Phoenix. We know that the Suns, Clippers, Nuggets, Mavericks, and Jazz have all clinched a playoff spot. The Jazz cannot fall below the second seed. You get a win tonight, and I believe they clinch, right? They clinch the number one seed if they get a win tonight.
I believe so. I believe you are correct. So for Utah, Golden State, both teams, you know, jockeying for playoff position, Utah looking to lock up the one, which is very important. The Jazz have to have the one seed. I mean, it's a must.
I agree. You don't want to be in the two. If you fall to the two, you're going to have to go through either the Lakers and the Clippers, possibly in consecutive rounds. Like, that's entirely possible if you're
and
the
they're not getting
seed.
Out of that.
No, I don't know if any team in the NBA would. So Phoenix is going to be climbing an uphill battle. Even if you were fortunate enough to knock off the defending champion Lakers, you would have to stay in L.A. and more than likely take on the Clippers in the second round. I don't know that anyone could beat those two teams 8 times in 14 games.
No, it's
I just don't think it's possible.
Yeah, and for the 1 and 2, the reward is possibly the Lakers in the first round, which, you know, is a nice reward. And for the Lakers, much better last night, so...
Anthony Davis finally looked good. Out of time of this edition of the show. Again, do not forget, coming up tonight, 7:50, David Locke and Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call. It's Utah and Golden State. I want to thank Steve Bordstein. Also want to thank Coach Dave Justice for taking out the time to join us. We'll talk local baseball on the show tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.